298. Mary and Matthias are entrusted to Johanna of Cusa. 11th October 1945. Tiberias is a gray sheet of water. It looks like tarnished mercury, so heavy it is in the dead calm which allows just the resemblance of tired not successful in making foam, and stop and calm down after making a slight movement, mingling with the dull water under a dull sky. James and John around their respective boats on the little beach of Bethsaida are preparing to sail. There is a smell of grass and wet mist on the green stretch towards Chorazim. November gloominess lies heavy on everything. Jesus comes out of Peter's house. Matthias and Mary, whom Porphyria has tidied up with motherly care, replacing Mary's little dress with one of Margium's. But Matthias have the same treatment, and he is still shivering in his little faded cotton tunic, so much so that Porphyria, who is always so full of into the house, and brings out a blanket in which she envelops the child, as if it were a mantle. Jesus thanks her, while she kneels down, and then withdraws, after kissing the two orphans once more.
Just to have children she would have taken these two as well,
remarks Peter, who has been watching the scene, and who in turn bends to give the two children a piece of bread. Said she had a sight under a seat of the boat. Andrew laughs at him and says,
"You wouldn't, would you? You even stole your wife's honey, to make these two happy."
Stole? It's my honey.
Yes, but my sister of it, because it is for Margium. And since you are aware of that, last night you stole into the kitchen, barefooted like a thief, and prepare that bread. I saw you, brother, and I laughed, because you were looking about like a child who is afraid of his mother's slap.
Spy,
replies Peter, laughing and embracing his brother, who kisses him saying,
"My dear big brother."
Jesus watches them, and smiles frankly standing between the two children who eat up their bread. The other eight apostles arrive. Perhaps they were the guests of Philip and Bartholomew.
Quick!
Shouts Peter, and he embraces the two children together, to take them to the boat without getting their bare feet wet.
You are not afraid, are you?
He asks them, while he paddles in the water with his short strong legs, bare, to about a span, above his knees.
No, sir.
Betty clings convulsively to Peter's neck, closing her eyes, when he puts her into the boat, which sways under Jesus' weight, who also gets his little boy, who is braver, or perhaps more astonished, does not say one word. Jesus sits down, drawing the little ones to him, touches them with his large mantle, which looks like a wing stretched out to protect two chicks. They are all on board, six men in each boat. Landing board, he pushes the boat farther out and jumps into it, imitated by James in the other boat. Peter's action has caused the and the girl moans,
"Mommy,"
hiding her face in Jesus' lap and grasping his knees. But they are now moving smoothly, although it is laborious for Peter, Andrew, to row with the help of Philip, who is the fourth oarsman. The sail hangs loose in the heavy damp calm, and is of no use. They must row.
Row.
Shouts Peter to those in the other boat, in which the Iscariot is the fourth oarsman, and Peter praises his perfect rowing.
"Come on, Simon
James.
Row with all your might or we shall beat you. Judas is as strong as a galley slave. Well done, Judas."
"Yes, head of the crew,"
confirms Peter, who is rowing as hard as two. And he laughs saying,
"But you will not succeed in beating Simon of Jonas. Ray was 20 years old, I was already first oarsman in competitions among villages."
And he joyfully gives the stroke to his crew.
"Heave! Heave! Ho!"
Their voices spread in the silence of the lake deserted in the early morning. The children pluck up courage again. Their makeup from under the mantle, one on each side of Jesus, who embraces them, and they smile faintly. They take an interest in the work of Ange comments.
"I seem to be going in a cart without wheels,"
says the boy.
"No, in a cart on the clouds. Look, to be walking in the sky. Look, we are climbing on the cloud,"
says Mary when she sees the prow of the boat plunge into a spot which the cloud. And she laughs faintly. But the sun dissipates the mist, and although it is a wan autumn sun, the clouds become gold. She hears them shining.
"Oh, how beautiful. We are now going to a fire. How lovely!"
exclaims the boy clapping. But the little girl becomes silent and bursts into tears. They all ask her why she is weeping. She explains sobbing.
Mother, Assam, I don't know, to keep us quiet, that we might be able to pray even with so much grief. And the poem mentioned will be like a lake of light, of a gentle fire, where there will be nothing but God and joy, and where all those who are good will go. This golden lake reminded me of it. My mummy.
Matthias also is weeping, and everyone pities them. But Jesus' sweet voice rises above the murmur of the various voices, and the moans of the little.
I weep. Your mother brought you to me, and she is here now with us, while I am taking you to a mother who has no children. She will two good children in place of her own baby, who is now where your mummy is. Because she wept too, you know? Her baby died as your.
So we are now going to her, and her baby will go to our mother,
says Mary.
That is right. And you will all be happy.
What is this woman like? What is she? A peasant? Has she a good master?
The little ones are anxious to know.
She is not a peasant, but a bowl of roses, and she is as good as an angel. She has a good husband. He will love you as well.
Do you think so, master?
Asks Matthew, who is somewhat incredulous.
I am certain. And you will be convinced. Some time ago Jesus wanted Margium to make a knight of him.
Most certainly not.
Margium will be a knight of Christ. That is all, Simon. Be quiet.
The lake turns gray again. The wind rises and ripples. The sail is filled, and the boat sails swiftly along vibrating. But the children are dreaming of their new mother, and are not afraid. Magdala's white houses among the green vegetation. And the countryside between Magdala and Tiberias passes by. The first areas appear.
Where, master?
The Jesus' little harbor.
Peter veers and gives instructions to the servant. The sail drops when the boat goes near the then enters it, stopping near the little pier, followed by the other boat. They are one beside the other like two tired ducks. They runs ahead to inform the gardeners. The little ones press timorously against Jesus and Mary, pulling his tunic, asks with a big sigh.
We good?
John comes back.
Master, a servant is opening the gate. Johanna is already up. Very well. Wait here. I will go ahead.
And Jesus the others watch him go, commenting on his action more or less favorably. There is considerable doubt and criticism. But from the play can only see Chusa hastening towards Jesus. He bows almost to the ground at the gate, and then enters the garden on Jesus's left. Nothing else can be seen. But I can see Jesus proceeding slowly beside Chusa, who shows how happy he is to have the
My Johanna will be delighted. And I am, too. She is feeling better and better. She told me about the journey. What a triumph, my.
Mind?
Johanna is happy. And I am happy to see her thus. I might have lost her months ago, my lord.
Yes, you might have. Her back to you. Be grateful to God for that.
Chusa looks at him perplexedly. He then whispers.
A reproach, lord?
No, an advice. Be good, Chusa.
Master, I am Herod's servant.
I know. But your soul is the servant of no one but God, if you wish so.
That is true. I will amend my way of living. Sometimes I am seized by the fear of public opinion.
Would you have minded last year, when you wanted to save Johanna?
Oh, no. At the cost of losing all respect I would have who could save her.
Do likewise for your soul. It is even more precious than Johanna. Here she is coming.
They quicken their steps towards Johanna, who is running along the avenue to meet them.
My master, I did not hope to see you so soon. Which kindness of your disciple?
A favor, Johanna.
A favor? Which? Tell us, and if we can, we will help you.
They both reply together.
Yesterday evening on the desert road I found two poor children, a little girl and a little boy. They were barefooted, ragged, starving, all. And I saw them being driven away, as if they were wolves, by a hard-hearted man. They were dying of starvation. Last year I gave wealth to that man. And he denied two orphans a piece of bread. Because they are orphans. Orphans wandering on their own. That man will receive his punishment. Do you want to receive my blessing? I am stretching my hand out to you, a beggar. For those orphans who have no home, no clothes, no food, no love. Will you help me?
But, Master, why ask? Tell me what you want, how much you want, tell us everything.
Says Chusa impulsively. Johanna does not speak, but with her hands pressed on her heart, tears on her long eyelashes, a smile of lips, she waits and her silence is more eloquent than words. Jesus looks at her and smiles.
I would like those to have a mother, a and the mother's name to be Johanna.
He has no time to finish, because Johanna's cry is like that of one freed from prison, wanting herself to kiss the feet of her lord.
And what do you say, Chusa? Will you receive in my name my beloved ones, who are much dearer to my heart than jewels?
Master, where are they? Take me to them, and upon my honor I swear to you that from the moment I lay my hand on their innocent heads, I will love them in your name as if I were their...
Come, then. I knew that I was not coming for nothing. Come. They are coarse and frightened, but good. You can trust me, because... Lots of men in the future. They will give peace and strength to your union, not so much now, as in the future. You will find your stuff. Their innocent embraces will be the best wine for your home of a married couple. And heaven will always be benign, and merciful. Because of your charity. They are outside the gate. We came from Bethsaida.
Johanna does not listen anymore. She runs away a great desire to caress them. And she does so, falling on her knees to clasp the two little orphans to her heart, kissing their amazing. They are amazed looking at the beautiful lady with garments adorned with jewels. And they look at Chusa, who caresses them, and takes Methodist. And they look at the beautiful garden, and at the servants who gather around them. And they admire the house which opens its halls full of riches apostles. And they look at Esther who covers them with kisses. The world of dreams is open to the little waifs. Jesus watches and smiles.